This is a policy rooted in tragedy. SICA Community Affairs Director Megan Bozak began her presentation by saying, "We all remember August 18th, 2015. Over 65 landslides hit Baranoff Island that day.
We had extremely heavy rainfall in the morning and a shift of wind patterns that left our community reeling over the tragic loss of both life and damage to property."
Future development in SICA is now a fraught enterprise, particularly in the South Kramer and Gary Paxton Industrial Park areas. Bozak says this leaves the city in a tough position. And in writing the critical areas ordinance, staff look to other places with hazardous land.
We've compared other municipalities, specifically Juneau. They have both a hazard landslide and avalanche area, Seattle and Snohomish County. We've included outside counsel in drafting and review and really struggled with this ordinance all personally because it's really the argument of what is the role of government? Where do we step in and what is that demand, again, for public safety or the need to develop?
Right now, the city cannot issue permits in landslide areas unless the homeowner pays for a geotechnical evaluation and any necessary mitigation. Bozak explained that under this new critical areas ordinance, the homeowner can waive that requirement. The person would sign a covenant with the city that would be tied to the deed of the land,
stating essentially that they know and accept the risks and are protecting the municipality from financial liability.
Subdivisions and high occupancy buildings would not qualify for this waiver option, and future homeowners could cancel the covenant at any time. The Assembly had mixed opinions on this, with some wondering how designating land as risky would change its value, development, and financing. Would a bank want to loan money for a house on the benchlands? Planning Director Mike Scarcelli said that's beyond the city's control and that there's a growing market for supplemental insurance. Homes in Juneau have been able to access Difference in Conditions Insurance, or DIC, that is designed to cover catastrophes the broader insurance market won't touch. And he added, an ordinance like this may be inevitable as the federal government pushes for more mapping. FEMA recently published a draft of a multi-hazard map for SICA, which the Assembly will review next year.
And again, those private markets, regardless of whether the City Assembly would adopt those, might use those for their risk actuary analysis.
Some on the Assembly were ill at ease with continued hazard mapping in SITCA, with Stephen Eisenbeis worrying about homeowners who suddenly find themselves in a high-risk area. As for the critical areas ordinance, he said, it kind of scares me.
It seems like the city is just trying to wash its hands of any responsibility here. We're just trying to step back and say, yeah, no, let's not be a part of this. Perhaps I'm looking at it wrong, but like I said, there's still something in here that's unsettling to me.
Kevin Knox reasoned that landowners have their hands tied as is under current rules and saw the ordinance as a move in the right direction.
There are landowners right now that are, they're hamstrung. They can't do anything.
While Mayor Matthew Hunter went so far as to say that this ordinance gives rights back to property owners.
If I own a lot that was in a risky area and I wanted to use it, I'd say, I own this property, why can't I use it? I'll sign a waiver that says that I recognize that this is dangerous, but let me do what I want to do.
And that may come to pass if the Assembly gives the Critical Areas Ordinance their final approval at their next meeting on June 27th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.